Tonight we want to talk to you about receiving power. Now, in our previous studies, we have looked at the need of power and I'm certain that we all know that we need more power to live a victorious Christian life. We've talked about the source of power that God has made available to us. And you know, there are a lot of books that are written upon power, the source of power, books on the Holy Spirit. But that is all well and good if we learn how to tap into the power. You know, to know that power is available is one thing. To tap into it is another. And until I learn to tap into the power, until I learn to make connections with the power, it is not really beneficial for me. It's good to know all of these things, but it has to have application. I've got to tap into and experience the power. Now, talking about experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit leads to a couple of difficulties that have quite often stood in the way of people receiving the power. One of the things that often stands in the way is the experience of others. I hear people tell of their experience when they tapped into the power of God. And someone says, well, you know, I experienced a tremendous heat coming into my hands. And they felt like they were on fire. Or, I experienced a tingling sensation that started at the top of my head and just went all the way down through my body. Or I felt like I was being just immersed in love. Or I experienced a blinding light. And I found that I was just lying there on the floor, bathed in this blinding light. And they talk about these various experiences. I experienced an uncontrollable flowing forth of tongues. And they talk about the various experiences that they had when they plugged into the power, to the extent that I often then am just seeking a particular experience that will match someone else's experience, rather than seeking the Holy Spirit, rather than just tapping into the power of the Spirit itself. I'm saying, oh God, let my hands burn like they're on fire. God, let me tingle from the top of my head to the tip of my toes. Or I'm looking for some particular experience that someone else had. But I do believe that in the book of Acts, we have enough different occasions where people plugged into the power of the Spirit that we see that God doesn't follow a pattern. That there are a variety of ways and a variety of experiences that a person might have when they plug into the power of God. Beginning in the second chapter of Acts, when the Holy Spirit descended upon the waiting believers, There were cloven tongues like fire that sat upon each of them. There was a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and they all began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to do so. But in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, when Peter and John went down to the city of Samaria to impart the Spirit upon those believers who had heard and believed the gospel from the preaching of Philip, there the apostles laid their hands upon them, and when they laid their hands upon them, the Holy Spirit was imparted to them. No mention of any special phenomena that may have existed, but the Spirit was imparted through the laying on of the hands of the apostles. However, in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, when Paul arrived in Damascus, blinded from his experience on the road, an ordinary believer, not an apostle, just a believer by the name of Ananias, came to Paul, laid hands on him, and said, "Paul, the Lord has sent me to lay hands on you that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Spirit." And so it was just by the laying on of the hands of a believer in the church of Damascus that Paul received the power of the Spirit. In the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, when Peter came to the centurion Cornelius's house there in Caesarea, while Peter was speaking to them, suddenly the Holy Spirit came upon them. Now, Peter didn't say, "Wait a minute, fellas, this is wrong. I haven't had a chance to lay hands on you yet. Don't you know it? You know, this happens by my laying on my hands." And no, it's just, it was different again. It was just while he was speaking, the Holy Spirit just descended upon them. Again, in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, when Paul was at Ephesus and he was trying to ferret out what was lacking in the experience of the Ephesian believers, he said, "Well, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "We didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit." We said, "How in the world were you baptized?" They said, "John's baptism." And so Paul preached to them concerning Jesus Christ, and they were baptized, and Paul laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So in each case, there was something just a little different. It didn't happen in any of the cases exactly like it happened in the previous case. So you cannot take someone's experience and make a model out of it. So the idea then is not to seek an experience or not to look for a particular experience, but just seek the Holy Spirit, not some particular experience with the Holy Spirit. There is one thing that you find will be common with all. When you plug into the power, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive a new dimension of love. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, and that goes for all. We're so anxious to look for some kind of success formula. We question others. Now, just how did you receive? What were you doing? Were you sitting, standing, or lying on the floor? You know, and we're trying to find just, you know, we're trying to formulate God and work him into a pattern so that if I do everything, what were you thinking about? You know, and what did you eat for breakfast? And, you know, I want to find some kind of a pattern whereby I can follow what you did so that I can have what you have. Doesn't work that way. There isn't any just little magic formula that we need to follow. You may be seated, you may be standing, you may be lying on the floor. It doesn't really, it isn't the position of the body, it's the position of your heart. There's a wide variety of experiences But there is only one law that is general in them all and underlines them all, and we need to discover the law and not to seek the experience. Now, another thing that is a problem is that there are so many different words that are used to describe the relationship with the Holy Spirit. We have the term baptized with the Holy Spirit, endued with the power of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. And then I've heard, I was refilled with the Spirit. I've always heard a question that term. And then we hear of many fillings of the Spirit. And then we hear of the special anointing of the Spirit. And I think that sometimes we're confused by all of these various terms. As we're seeking the power of the Spirit, someone comes up and whispers, "Brother, just let go. Let go, brother, just let go." And the person on the other side is whispering in our ear, "Hang on, brother, hang on, hang on." You know, and I'm confused as to what to do. Whether to let go or to hang on. But I'm wanting the power. Now, the Bible uses several different terms to describe our relationship with the Holy Spirit. There is the term baptized with the Spirit. There is the term filled with the Spirit, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. There is the term anointed with the Spirit. There is the term sealed with the Spirit of God, and referring to the Spirit as the earnest of our redemption, the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now, baptized with the Spirit looks back historically to that initial moment when I first plugged into the power. That first empowering. Historically, I was baptized with the Spirit that day that I was immersed in the Spirit of God. Filled with the Spirit is an experience word, because that is the result of my being baptized. Because I was baptized with the Spirit, I am now filled with the Spirit. Anointed means a special action of the Spirit for a particular service. A person is anointed to preach the word, anointed to teach the word, anointed to bring God's healing to a sick person. And there's that special anointing of the Spirit, which is a special power for service unto the Lord. Sealed is a word of relationship. It's actually a sign of ownership. And so being sealed with the Spirit indicates relationship. I now belong to the Lord. He stamped me with his seal of ownership, the Holy Spirit being that seal. Earnest is a word that declares intent. We have the word deposit. Now, you want to buy a car. And you look in the paper and you see the ads and you go out and you look at a car and you say, "Oh, this is just what I'm looking for." And you agree upon a price. But you say, "I forgot my checkbook. Tell you what, I want this car. I'll give you a deposit. I have $100 in my pocket and I'll give you a deposit on this car. And you hold it for me, I'll run back and get my checkbook." That deposit is earnest. What you are saying is, "I am earnest in my intention to buy your car. Don't sell it to anybody else while I'm gone." And so I leave him the $100 deposit. with the understanding that if I don't buy the car, the $100 belongs to him. With the understanding that if someone else comes along in the meantime and says, oh, I want that car, I'll give you $100 more than he offered, he won't sell it to the other fellow because we have entered into a contract. I have given him earnest money that he is holding. It's my deposit, and he's now obligated to sell that car to me when I come back with my checkbook and write him out the check. So the Holy Spirit is the declaration by God of his intent to complete your redemption. One day, redeeming your body. One day, bringing you into the glory of his kingdom. To show that he is earnest in his intentions, he has given the Holy Spirit more or less as the deposit. And he intends to complete his transaction, bringing you into glory. And that glory that we experience of the Holy Spirit in our lives is just the foretaste of the glory that shall be ours when we are with him. So that the term baptism is always a backward look. Back to that point where I received. Filling is an inward look. As I see that power of the Spirit now residing in me and filling me. Anointing is an outward look, as I have now the power to touch others. Sealed is an upward look, as I look to the relationship with God. And earnest is a forward look to when God completes his transaction of my redemption. Now, there are broken connections that rob us of the power of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I thought the Holy Spirit was in all believers. And that is true. But there is a vast difference between the Holy Spirit dwelling in you and the Holy Spirit being upon you as a power. In the Greek, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is with you, he shall be in you. But then he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, using the preposition hapi, upon or overflows you. And there's a vast difference between just having the Holy Spirit residing in your life as a guest and the Holy Spirit on the throne of your life in control. And the idea really is to change the relationship that I have with the Spirit from one of his residing in me to one of his controlling me. The Spirit-controlled life. That's the life of power. The power of the Holy Spirit cannot be experienced by you if self is on the throne of your life. The Holy Spirit will not be co-regent with self. It is not until you move off the throne and let the Holy Spirit take the throne of your life, it is then that you experience the power of the Holy Spirit. If the flesh is uppermost in my life, I have a broken connection with God. And I cannot really know that power of God. God does not deal with my flesh. He actually doesn't deal with my intellect directly. My relationship and my connection with God is spiritual. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a superior trinity of Father, Son, Spirit. Man is an inferior trinity of spirit, soul, and body. When the spirit is uppermost, and on the throne of my life, I have connection with God. The superior trinity, the inferior trinity, meet in the realm of the spirit, and his spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. When the flesh is uppermost, God does not deal with my flesh, and thus my connection with God is broken, and my source of power is gone. Connection is broken. Now you can take and plug your vacuum cleaner into the wall and vacuum your house. But if you take your pliers and cut the vacuum cord, it'll arc across the pliers as you cut the two wires. Leave a nice little burn spot in the pliers, but what's going to happen is the vacuum's going to go off. And you can run that vacuum all over the house, but it's not going to work because you've broken the connection. You can say, this dumb thing doesn't pick up dirt anymore. Crazy vacuum's not working. You've broken connection. You no longer have the power. Same is true when the flesh is on the throne, you've broken the connection. You've lost the power. You're weak, you're inept. And so it's important that we make connection and that we keep that connection. How do we make connections? In the 7th chapter of the Gospel of John, it records how that Jesus was in Jerusalem during the Feast of the Tabernacles. He was there on the Temple Mount on the last day, the great day of the feast, beginning verse 37. And on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood crying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters." Now John, writing later with the advantage of hindsight, said, "This spake he of the Spirit, which they which believed on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Now in that text, there are four words that are connecting words, and that lead us into the connection with the power of the Holy Spirit. The first of these words is the word thirst. Thirst is one of the strongest words in our language. It means to desire intensely. It is possible for you to have a thirst that is so strong that you can't think of anything else but that thirst. You can't do anything until you satisfy that thirst. I don't know if you've ever been that thirsty. I have. I mean, where I could only think of getting something to drink. A very strong word indicating intense desire. Are you really thirsty for power? Do you have a real intense desire for the power of God in your life? You see, you may be saying, "Well, yeah, it would be nice. I suppose I'd use that." Yeah, you know. Well, that really doesn't indicate an intense desire, a real thirst. You're not really thirsty. Thirst is an intense desire. It's where, hey, I've got to have it. You know, everything else can stop. This becomes foremost. It now begins to obsess my mind. It's foremost, and I've got to have this power. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. On the other side of the coin, you might declare, cursed is the man who has no thirst for righteousness, who has no awareness, really. Cursed is the man who has no awareness of his need. But being aware of my need of righteousness, wanting to live a righteous, holy life, thirsting, longing for it. First word. Now, the second word is glorified. The word has actually two meanings, one historic and the other experimental. From a historic standpoint, when Jesus arrived back into heaven, bloodied, bruised, marred as the result of his visit to earth, the angels rejoiced. And he was received back into glory. And in the presence of the holy angels, the Father had him sit at his right hand, glorified on high. This is the thing Jesus had been looking for. In the fulfilling of the Father's will down on the earth, to be again with the Father. Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world ever existed. His prayer while he was down here doing the will of the Father. And now he is back, seated at the right hand of the throne of glory on high, being glorified in the presence of the holy angels. It was then he said, Father, I want you now to send the Holy Spirit down to those who believed in me in order that they might have the power to follow the path that I showed to them. In order that they might have the power to do the things that I commanded them. And in response to the prayer of Jesus, the Father sent the Holy Spirit on the waiting believers. And the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the believers was the proof that Jesus was back in heaven, glorified there in the Father's throne. Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit cannot come until I go away. But when I go away, I will pray the Father. He will send him to you." And on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended upon the church, Peter was careful to point out the fact that the descent of the Holy Spirit was the proof of the risen Lord. In Acts there, Peter said, Jesus, therefore, being at the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. You see, when the Holy Spirit descended, all of this phenomena, the people of Jerusalem gathered together to see what was going on. And they said, what does this mean? Some of the guys said it means they found some pretty good wine someplace. They're drunk. And Peter stood up and said, "Ye men of Israel, hearken unto me. These are not drunken as ye suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. What meaneth this?" He said, "This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel when God said he was going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh." Now, Jesus, having ascended and at the right hand of God exalted, has received the promise of the Holy Spirit, which you now see and hear, and has shed forth this. What is this? This is the Holy Spirit, the promise of God. So, it is the proof that Jesus is glorified there at the throne of God. That's the historic meaning of glorified. In a personal, experiential sense, it means that when Jesus is enthroned in my life, the Holy Spirit will fill me. The Father glorified Jesus by enthroning him. And I too must glorify him by enthroning him. But you see, the throne of my life was occupied by another. One who had no intention of abdicating the throne, or of resigning without resistance. So there has to be, first of all, a dethronement before there can be an enthronement. Christ will not take the place on the throne in my life until I, first of all, renounce that place myself. For you see, I had lived to please myself. I had done what I wanted to do. My desires were the paramount issues in my life. I was on the throne, living to please me. As long as I am on the throne, my connection with God is broken. It is not until Jesus is glorified in me and sitting in the throne of my life that I begin to really experience then that power of God as I make the connection with the power Jesus being on the throne of my life. You tired of being on the throne? You ready to move off and let someone else sit there? You ready to enter into a new dimension? A dimension of power, a dimension of glory. Tired of selfishness and being ruled by that self nature. Do you thirst for more of God? Then get off the throne. Step aside and invite Jesus right now to come and take the throne of your life. Even right now, say, "Lord, I surrender. I step aside. You take the throne in my life right now." The next word is drink. And you know, that has to be the simplest thing in the world to do. All you have to do is tilt the glass up and let it flow down. You know, you just actually have an automatic response of swallowing. When your mouth gets full of water, it's an automatic response. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. Drink. Jesus said, "Let him come unto me and drink." And that's all you have to do. It's just drink. You say, "Oh, that sounds so simple." Yes, it is. We've made it complex and difficult. The fourth word is believe. As the scriptures say, he who believeth. It is saying Jesus, I receive that power in my life right now. And I thank you that the Spirit has taken over control and that I now have the power. You say, but I don't feel anything. Well, were you saved by some feeling that you had? If I ask you, are you really born again? Oh, yes. Well, how do you know you're born again? Oh, listen, I had the most exciting feeling. I couldn't sleep all night. I just felt like I was walking on clouds. And so you know that you were saved because you felt like you were walking on clouds. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Well, I'm sort of concerned about your salvation. If I say, are you really born again? You say, yes, I am. I say, well, how do you know you're really born again? Because I believe the promise of God. I say, all right. I can handle that. Because you see, the promise of God isn't going to change. Your feelings might change. You might have an upset stomach tomorrow. Feel like you're walking on thorns. That doesn't mean you're not saved. But if your salvation is relative, you know, if you're relating it to feelings, then you say, oh man, I'm not saved. I feel horrible today, you know. Stomach upset, I think I got the flu. You lose your salvation every time you get a cold. You feel all stuffed up. So I don't premise my salvation upon some feeling that I had or possessed. It is premised upon something far more reliable than my feelings. It's premised upon God's word, and I believe what God has said. This relationship with the Holy Spirit should not be premised upon some feeling that you have or had. The relationship with the Holy Spirit should be premised upon the promise of God's word. Lord, you have promised me power. I now receive that power. I place you upon the throne of my life. I drink now of the fullness of that power, and I thank you now for that power that is in my life, Lord, to live as you want me to live. You say, is that all there is to it? Yes, that's all there is to it. You're receiving right now by faith the promise of God and receiving that power into your life tonight. You're making a connection. Now, the next time something arises where you're faced with a problem in a difficult situation, suddenly you're going to experience the power. You may not experience it this moment. You don't need it right now. But when the need arises, you'll find that the power will be there, and then is when you'll experience the power. When Jesus said to the man in the synagogue in Capernaum, when he said, stretch forth your hand, the man did not know that he had the power to stretch forth his hand until he stretched it forth. The moment he stretched it forth, he realized, hey, I've got the power to stretch forth my hand. That man who was there at the pool of Bethesda didn't know he had the power to get up and walk until he got up and walked. Jesus said, arise, take your bed and go home. And he didn't know he had that power until he did it, and then he experienced the power. So as you place Jesus upon the throne of your life, as you drink in of that fullness of God's love, as you believe now the promise of God, God imparts to you the power, the connection is made. And when the need arises, you will exercise that power and you'll realize, oh, hey, wow, I do have it. Thank you, Lord. You know, but We should be thanking the Lord now because it's His promise. Take by faith, believe. One of the key words, and it's the law that underlies all experiences. For all of these experiences come from the one underlying cause, I believed the promise of God. Now your experiences may vary, and they probably will vary to the extent that we have a varied group of people, and so we'll have this many different experiences. But there's one underlying cause, and that's my taking the promise of God and believing the promise of God. Are you thirsty? Will you put Jesus upon the throne of your life? Then drink and go out expecting that the power will be there whenever the need may arise. Now, I want to share with you a couple of laws of continuous power. Power depends upon good connections. You ever had static on your telephone? We had a telephone one time that whenever we would talk on it, the thing would squeal and howl and static, and sometimes it was so bad you couldn't even talk. We'd have to hang up. We'd say, well, you know, sorry, you know, this is horrible, you know, and we finally called the phone company. And we said, you know, this is horrible. Some of the time, there's so much squealing and static on this phone, we can't even hear people, you know. So the phone company came out. And the fellow climbed the pole. And where our line connected in, there was a loose wire. And when it was foggy, it would get wet and it would short and create all this static. When it would dry out, it'd be okay. So it was an intermittent problem. But when he tightened the connection, then things were clear. Some of you have a loose connection. A lot of static on the line. There isn't a consistency of the power. It's an intermittent thing. You see, power depends, and this is true in life, power depends on a good connection. The power in my hand depends upon a good connection with my brain. If there isn't a good connection with my brain, my hand will be hanging limp, you know. Just no power. What happened? Bad connection. Somewhere along the nervous system, there's a broken line. Bad connection. No power. But when the connections are good, then you have the strength and the power in your hand. Power depends upon good connections. And so, the believer with Jesus, I've got to have a good connection in order to really experience that power. Now, there are things that can break the connections. You say, well, hey, I don't want to break connections. That's true, but there's someone who does. And he's working very hard at breaking your connections with Jesus. And he is greater than you are, and you are no match for him. But he that is in you is greater and is able to overcome him. But you can be sure that Satan is out to break connections by luring you away from the Lord and back into the area of your flesh, holding out little things, baubles for you and saying, hey, wouldn't you like this? Look at this. How about this one, you know? And holding out all of these things where, you know, he's trying to put the old self, oh, yeah, man, I like that, you know. Ooh, you know. And self back on the throne, broken connection, weak, anemic. You know, I think one of the saddest things in the world is to see men who at one time were mightily used of God, tremendous ministries, And now they're just somewhere on the shelf. Power is gone. Broken connections. Samson, it said, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And the Spirit of God came upon him. And the Spirit of God, three times it tells us, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And the marvelous feats of power when the Spirit of God was upon him. But then we read that sad verse. And he knew not that the Spirit of God had departed from him. With Saul, the scripture said, and the Spirit of God came mightily upon him. And then we read, and the Spirit of God departed from him. Now, in both cases, between the Spirit of God upon him and departing from him, there was a case of disobedience. Where Saul and Samson took over the throne again. In the disobedience to God is the enthronement of self. The moment I disobey, I am taking him off the throne. He's no longer ruling and in control. In order for him to remain upon the throne, it is necessary that I remain obedient unto him. The disciples had experienced the power of God, and they came back and they said, Lord, it's tremendous. Even the devils were subject to us. But then a little while later, we read that this man brought his son to Jesus after he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration and said, Lord, help me, help my son. He's vexed with these devils, and oftentimes they take hold of him and try to destroy him and throw him in the fire and all. And Jesus said, bring him to me. And as he was bringing him, the devil took hold of him and threw him on the ground. He began to writhe and wallow and all on the ground. And the crowd came rushing. And Jesus rebuked the evil spirit. But the fellow said, I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't help him. Oh, wait a minute. What happened? They came back saying, God, even the devils are subject. But now here's a case where the disciples couldn't help, broken connection somewhere. And so after they were gone and the boy was healed, they said, Lord, how come we couldn't do that? And Jesus talked to them about renewing connections. Maybe you need to renew some connections. Power is absent in your life. You don't have that power that you once had. Somewhere along the line, connection was broken. That vitality and power of God isn't there working as it once did. You need to renew some connections tonight. You see, the power isn't stored up in us like a battery. It isn't that I have this, you know, source of inward power. I've got a storage battery here, man, and, you know, just power all the time. No, it's more like the AC current. You got to stay plugged in. And the minute you pull the plug, the power is gone. It isn't a stored up power within me. You know, he doesn't just charge me up and now, hey man, I'm supercharged and, you know, I'm on my way and I've got it made. I've got to keep the connection to keep the power. The moment I break connection with him, I'm weak as other men. Connections are developed through time alone with him, in his word, and in prayer. That's where the connection is really made. As I get alone with him, and as I get into his word, and as I commune with him, the connection comes. So that when I go out into that hostile world, I have His power. And I am able to be victorious, and I'm able to overcome God's power working in me. You thirsty? Drink. Believe the promise of God. Glorify Christ. Put Him on the throne. You'll have that power. Shall we pray? Thank you, Father, for the promise of your Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the power of your Spirit. May He minister to us now as we step off the throne and we invite you, Jesus, take now control. Sit upon the throne of our lives. We receive now your love, your power. We thank you for that power. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the Lord be with you, and may you go forth and begin to experience that power of God as the needs arise. And may you know the joy of victory in Christ as you develop a solid connection. And may you have His power working in you, giving you victory in places where up till now you've experienced defeat. May you see that power of God working out in Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. If you would like further information on any of our products or to receive our free catalog, contact The Word for Today. The address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Or you may reach us by our toll-free number, 1-800-272-WORD. That's 1-800-272-WORD.